everybody, welcome back to Moscow. Welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm still Shay Bowes and I'm still accompanied, kept an eye on, probably, by our pal, Augie. You know, the man with the numbers. You know, he really is the guy pulling the levers behind the curtain. Yeah, he's my handler, not the FSB. Now, where would we start this week? Well, come on, the big Don's been travelling again. And on his travels, he started, Augie, we think, to get a little bit of Bidenitis. Yeah, we're seeing a slight progression towards Bidenitis. And we want to play this little video of the big Don, very rightfully. Now, we're big supporters of this, of cracking down on drugs. We're not a big fan here. But he may have got the number slightly wrong, Augie. Just a little bit. What do you think?
I think it's Donald Trump, and he never gets his numbers wrong. So my condolences to all Americans that have to live through this horrible event.
Okay, let's have a look at this. Watch out for the numbers. The numbers are very important. Just ask Augie. Run the video, Augs.
Well, just one more on Venezuela. The president of Venezuela called the strike on the boat illegal. Are you concerned that Maduro might escalate something?
No, what's illegal are the drugs that were on the boat and the drugs that are being sent into our country and the fact that 300 million people died last year from drugs. That's what's illegal.
How many? How many was it, Augie?
He said 300 million people died last year.
300 million people died in the U.S. last year. How many people live in the U.S.? 350?
Used to be 350 million, but now I imagine the streets are desolate. Only 50 million people left there.
So now there's only 50 million people left, and 70 million people voted for him. So that means there's a 20 million person fraud going on with the election of Donald Trump. Let's take this to the Senate, libtards. Come on, let's do this. Now, let's leave that where it is, okay? We let the numbers technicians deal with the numbers of drug deaths, as tragic as every drug death is. And let's follow the big Don on his trip to good old England, good old, limey land. A lot of problems in the UK at the moment, a lot of poverty, a lot of people living in poverty, living in food poverty in particular, 4,000 food banks operating in the UK at the moment with very little help from the government or from the royal family, by the way, and millions and millions and millions of children living in actual poverty, reliant on state aid and private aid from people like the Salvation Army who do a great job. Now, the president of the US is visiting. It's a big deal. No one expects them to send him to McDonald's, although he'd probably prefer that. But let's have a look at the optics. Let's have a look, Augie, at how he actually arrived. They were kind of setting out the gaudy, over-the-top, overindulgent, super luxurious tone by how they sent him, I think, to the banquet, probably. Check this out. Check out the carriage he arrived in. Cinderella, it ain't. Spinderella, it may be. Run the video, Augie.
Just look at this. It's like a fairy tale.
Yeah. And look at the dude behind him with the white wig.
Yeah.
I think they're basically desperate to say, we love you, Don. Please don't screw us over. Please screw everybody else over. Do what you like. Please don't cut off completely the Ukrainians because we're so invested there. Please don't screw us economically. Please don't pull out of NATO. It's basically a massive begging bowl operation, right, Augie?
Actually, they went even as far as firing Peter Mandelson, the British ambassador to Washington, after it has been found out that he had some connection to Jeffrey Epstein. And then activists projected images of Trump and Epstein onto Windsor Castle and got arrested for this.
Now, you know, you might not know, guys, who, particularly in America, who Peter Mandelson is. Now, Peter Mandelson, Sir Peter Mandelson, you know, give me a break. Sir Peter Mandelson is a very well-known sort of devious prince of darkness in British politics, going back decades, right? Involved with Tony Blair, the man who started the illegal Iraq war, killed millions of people, involved in many scandals in the British Labour Party. And it turns out that he is a very good friend of good old Jeffrey Epstein. A very, very good friend of Jeffrey Epstein, visiting him in his various homes, attending his birthday parties, writing a lot of notes and little love letters to him as well. Very, very close friends. Now, I pointed this out back when he was appointed, but it seems to have been pushed through by Keir Starmer, who himself at the time was embroiled in a nationwide scandal in the UK over Asian rape gangs and refusing to hold an inquiry into those gangs. There's a very bad f***ing smell of Mr. Starmer. Now, we're not going to talk about the three Ukrainian models, right, Augie? The three models who just so happened to burn Mr. Starmer's car, two of his houses, and have just disappeared. They got arrested and nobody seems to know where they are, Augie, right? Now, of course, there's lots of rules that govern interacting with the royals. It's called protocol. And in protocol, you're never meant to turn your back on the sovereign. You're meant to kind of leave the room crawling very lowly, like Augie does when he's asking for a pay increase from me, when he knocks on the door and says, Shay, any chance of a pay increase? Great one, oh master. So you're meant to kind of reverse out of the room. It's all this medieval bullshit around the royal family. Now, the royal family say you don't really have to do it, but are you really not going to follow the rules? Well, there's one guy who's landed in the UK who has no intention of following the rules, it seems to me. One of the cardinal rules when you're dealing with the royals, who are appointed by God, remember, Deus et mon droit. That's what it says on the royal coat of arms. It says, God and my right to rule. So they actually still believe that they're appointed by God. They're the head of the English Church, the Protestant Church of England. So you're not meant to touch him, right? But guess what? Big Don didn't get the memo. Yeah, run the video, Augie.
Oh no, the breach of etiquette.
Oh yeah, the breach of etiquette. Oh my God, look. He touches him. I touched him so well. I do. I'm the best toucher. I'm the best royal toucher of the lad. I'm so good. I'm such a good royal toucher. Oh yeah. So I hear you say, who gives a who cares about British protocol? Maybe the Americans taught the British about protocol back in the 18th century when they handed them their ass in the War of Independence. Yeah, go USA. But, you know, when he's off the stage with the king, the big Don had to go and talk to Starmer, who I'm informed by some of my American friends who might know a thing or two about it, absolutely f***ing despises Starmer. He dislikes him intently. So he gets up on the podium beside Starmer, and the big Don is very, very proud, right, Augie, of solving wars. He's Mr. Peace Prize, right? He's the guy that's going to bring peace to the world. Now, when you are Mr. Peace Prize, you don't even need to get the names of the countries at war right. You don't even have to know where the wars are happening. You just have to be the guy who solved those wars. And if you're the most powerful man in the world, which he may be, you can basically dictate new countries. You can create new conflicts, new wars, and even complete new continents, right? So let's have a look at the big Don. And keep an eye on the Starmer Fuhrer's face as the big Don announces the creation of Azerbaijan and a war between, Albania as well. Now, as far as I know, Albania is a NATO member. It's not at war with anybody. And Azerbaijan sounds like something out of a Carry On movie. But the big Don rolls it out. And does Starmer say anything? Does Starmer dare correct the mighty emperor? You know, does he... Yeah, run the video, Augie.
To think that we settled Azerbaijan and Albania as an example. It was going on for years. It was never going to be settled.
I'll ask our editor to rerun this video, zooming in on Starmer's face, yeah. Because you can see the edges of his mouth just going...
Like what? You know, and of course, Starmer has been briefed by all of his US desk people, right? Under no circumstances piss off the Don. Because the Don can get it into his head just by looking at you. I don't like him. I don't like this guy. I think we should sanction him. I think we should put 10,000% tariffs on Starmer. I don't like the guy. So he's prone to this stuff. He can go in and sit on the toilet, on the phone, get the old tweet machine out. I get really pissed off. So Starmer's been warned, say nothing, no matter what he says. Don't challenge him. Don't argue with him in public, right? This is where we are. Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely sweet.
I think, Che, our audience would not really understand if we contradict Donald Trump. So from now on, I'm officially Albanian, I guess.
Now, as much as the big Don despises the Starmer Fuhrer, and I believe he does, even the Starmer Fuhrer knew if the big Don turns up in town, and we were told, of course, that The Big Don might even be scared of getting whacked by the Israelis if he cuts off the weapons and the arms. Our old pal Max Blumenthal gave a very interesting interview revealing that the Israelis had left bugs everywhere when, you know, there was more electronic bugs in the White House than there was bed bugs in Macron's house at the Paris Olympics after Netanyahu turned up for one of the visits. That's according to Max Blumenthal. Very, very credible, very interesting guy. Check him out. So let's have a look. How did the Starmer Fuhrer Augie manage to get in the good books with the Big Don? Well, it's easy. All you need to do is put on your virtual yarmulke, head to the virtual Wailing Wall, which is, you know, praising the Israelis, and sort of kneel. That's all you need to do, right? And the Starmer Fuhrer did it, and of course the Big Don lights up. That's my boy. That's my goy. Oh yeah, run the video, Augie.
Well, let me be really clear about Hamas. They're a terrorist organisation who can have no part in any future governance in Palestine. And
that's good.
What happened on October the 7th was the worst attack since the Holocaust.
Now he's got a hard on now. Look at the Don's face. Yeah, there you have it, guys. APAC, APAC. So you may ask yourself, what did the British taxpayer actually get out of this huge visit by Trump? We're told that the banquet and associated gaudy Barbie carriage cost well over £15 million. That's about $20 million US, right? That's what it cost. The great and the good, my ass, the most creepy, unelected cabal of WEF globalist goons all turned up at the dinner. And one of the things that was announced at this meeting of Trump and the Starmer Fuhrer was a big tech deal, right? But like the big deal where Ursula von der Leyen announced that they were going to buy hundreds of billions of dollars worth of weapons and then afterwards said, well, not really. And they're also going to buy hundreds of billion dollars worth of US gas. And then afterwards, all the tech industry and all the energy industry people said, well, not really. What's really going to happen with this big deal, Augie? Give us the numbers.
So here we go. This tech deal is supposed to have £150 billion to be invested from the US companies into the British ones. What it actually means is that they're going to be bought out by the American companies. Out of this money, £90 billion will come from Blackstone, a private capital firm which has really close ties with Trump. Because Steven Schwarzman, CEO of Blackstone, backed up Trump back in 2020 elections. And back in 2019, when Trump was still in power, Blackstone actually had a sub-zero tax rate, you know, helping the American people by paying no taxes at all.
What the f*** is a sub-zero tax rate?
I think they got some money from the taxpayers.
Wow, so this is all about the cash. This is all about the big war machine. It's not really got to do with anything about no ordinary British taxpayer who's standing in a queue at a food bank, who is seeing waving goodbye to tens of millions of pounds going over to the dictatorship in Ukraine. They're not going to benefit a iota from any of this bullshit, right?
I think the trick here is that neither the UK citizens nor the US citizens would benefit from any of this. It's just the oligarchs making money.
Oligarchs. Yes, they're the people that they say run Russia, right? Yeah, they run Russia. Meanwhile, back home in the US, while the cat is away, the mice will play. And the mice were playing when Senator Dick Blumenthal and Linda, our friend Linda, you know who Linda is, right? The not gay, warmongering Nosferatu impersonator, Lindsey Graham. So Linda and Dick decided to put on a bit of theatre, right, Augie? A big fat sign with the terrorism list. Now, before we go on to their stupid theatrics and circus clown attempt to add Russia in retard writing at the bottom of it, let's talk about who actually wrote that list, Augie. I mean, was this list created by the United Nations, by any international body, or was it just made up somewhere in the US?
As you know, Chi, it was just made up by some rich ass in the US who has ties with weapon manufacturing companies.
Aha. So the guys with the ties to the weapons companies who funded the US Army, who since the Second World War have killed over 10 million civilians in dozens of conflicts in hundreds of countries, who have 750 military bases in 148 countries around the world with 300,000 troops based there, while people are getting their throats cut on buses, while free speech advocates like Charlie Kirk, whether you agree or disagree, are getting shot in the throat. The US is out policing the world. Why do they need to do that? Why does NATO need to exist after the Warsaw Pact collapsed in 1991 and disappeared off the field? It's like a football team that stays there waiting for an opponent for decades. It's all about making cash. Let's have a look at Linda Graham and Dick making dicks and lilies of themselves. Yeah, here's the list. Run it, Augie.
How do you spell Russia?
How do you spell Russia?
All right, guys.
Russia. Oh, there's two. There's two gaps.
Yeah, you know, the second one will take some time.
Thank you.
But hold on a second.
So that's where Russia belongs.
Didn't they just appoint a Zelensky double as president of Syria? And send their people over there and shake his hands and do deals on oil, lift the sanctions on Syria.
Maybe they forgot.
Maybe they forgot. That's how insane it is. I think they actually forgot. They forgot. And while Dick and Linda are putting today together their stupid, retarded, big list, like a check you get when you win the lottery or, you know, win a raffle or raise some money for kids in wheelchairs, right? While they're doing the theatrics, what's happening out in the streets, Augie? What's happening in real America? What's happening in the places that the taxpayers are forced to live and work in? Well, let's have a look at charming old Oregon. Portland, Oregon, to be exact. This isn't, again, a film set. It's not made up. This wasn't filmed by us or some, you know, devious state actors. This is just what's happening out on the streets. Check it out. Run it, Augie.
Beautiful, isn't it?
What
feels like first world country.
You're insane.
Ugh.
In the middle of an American city. Right in the middle of an American city.
Does this look better or worse than your home?
How's it compared to where you live? My God, it's pretty rough.
Oh, look, there people actually live there.
People are living there. There's a bike down there. Check it out.
Sorry.
Sorry, he stood on somebody.
Oh, I can't look at this. Here.
Well, look. Let's get the hell out of Portland, Oregon, and let's take the metro in good old USA. Let's go to New York, the Big Apple. Now, you might say, oh, you're always giving out about New York. Well, we're not giving out about New York. We love New York. We love Americans, and we think they deserve a better deal than they're getting. So let's show you what they don't really like showing you. Check out the U.S. government's pride and joy, you know, the unofficial capital of the United States of America. Let's take a metro journey in New York. Run it, Augie. There you go.
Look, they're just filming themselves stealing the phones.
Yeah. What an asshole. So if you take a walk through Portland, Oregon, and then, you know, maybe a little pleasure trip on the New York City Metro, you might arrive at your school. And what greets you if you're a little, you know, sixth, seventh grader? Yeah, what, 11 years old? You got to learn how to survive a school shooting. Yeah. Now, this is probably one of the most disturbing videos that we've come across here on the Moscow Mules. It's actually something that really is quite sort of dystopian. It really is. Check this out. This is what kids in some schools in the US have to endure for fear of what could visit them in a place where they're meant to be very, very much safe and sound. It's unreal. Run the video, Augie. What? Outrun my gun. It's just freaky, right, Augie?
At least these kids are having fun. It's horrible.
So you may ask, why are we showing you all this? Well, there's a reason, as per usual. There's a method in the madness. And the reason we're showing you what the reality is, to some extent in the US, of course, there's a lot of positives about the United States, but they probably happen thanks to the citizens themselves rather than the gobshite politicians. Now, presidents come and go. President Trump, President Obama, President Jimmy Carter, President Nixon, we can list them all off. They come and go, but who are the constant? Who's the permanent government in the USA? That's the congressmen. That's the men who are so deeply ingrained in their local areas that they stay in power sometimes for decades, right, Augie? Now, let's not forget that they, while they're supposed to be helping people in Portland, Oregon, preventing these school shootings, watching the military budgets and trying to keep an eye on what's actually happening, what they're doing, what are they actually doing? Well, it's quite simple. They're making sure big war, big business is getting funded. Now, a key figure in making sure that a lot of these congressmen, a lot of these district attorneys are kept in power, kept funded, are assisted with their political work, let's say, is a man called George Soros, a Hungarian Jewish gentleman who has amassed a huge empire and calls himself a philanthropist. But George has had his finger in many pies, right, Augie? Including the media, the banking sector, helping collapse entire banking systems and societies to make some money. He also found himself on the wrong end of a couple of prosecutions, but let's not talk about that. Let's have a listen to George, basically confirming that he is at the center of funding the entire post-coup government of Ukraine. I'll say that again, that he is centrally involved in funding everybody in the current Ukrainian government. And watch out for who's asking the questions. Our old friend, Chrystia Freeland, a Canadian lady who's just had to resign from the cabinet. But guess where she's been sent? She's been sent to Ukraine, Slava Ukraine, as the special envoy from the Canadian government. It seems that you fail upwards when you're part of the Ukro scam. Run the video, Augie.
We've built this branch in Ukraine in 1990. The foundation, one of the things that the foundation did, gave a lot of scholarships and supported civil society. And the maturity of civil society 25 years later is, to a large extent, the work of the foundation.
Yeah, and I will just offer my own personal testimony here. It's actually amazing in Ukraine, the new Ukrainian government, the new Ukrainian leadership. Everyone who I know in that group has been touched somehow by open society and by Georgia, like literally. Either people personally got a scholarship or someone, their wife got a scholarship.
There you go. QED, we rest our case. Soros owns the Ukrainian government. So let Augie and I remind you of what this civil society that Mr. Soros is celebrating with Chrystia Freeland. Now, let's not talk about Chrystia Freeland's old grandfather, right, Augie, who ran a newspaper in Ukraine during the Nazi occupation, but he was their biggest fan, yeah. Chrystia's old grandpapa was a Nazi. Mm-hmm. Joined the club with Fred Mertz et al. Let's have a look at what that actual civil society they seem so proud of. Let's see what it looks like. Run the video, Augie.
Look at this. They're gonna oh my God. So civil.
This is very civil.
You know, we live in a society, Chief.
But he's getting democratically dragged away to die.
For the society of Zelensky and his oligarch.
Yeah, no, this is a democratic abduction. Yeah, he's been democratically and civilly dragged off to die in a war which he wants nothing to do with. Yeah, I'll rest my case. Now, you might remember some time ago, Foreign Policy did an article, check it, about Zelensky losing touch with reality, sleeping in the bunker with his friend, Mr. Yermak. Mm-hmm. Yep. And basically becoming more and more shrunken into this elite little circle and not being able to connect with what's really happening on the front lines and on the streets. Maybe there's a bit of truth to that, because somebody, like our friend Augie here, decided to have a little tinker around in who's actually liking and reposting Zelensky's daily rants, his tweets. He tends to post maybe 20 or 30 of these things every day. He never stops. I met this guy. I met another guy. I went to the shops. I bought a bottle of kvass. Better not drink that. That's Russian.
Smells good like a rye bread.
And who's actually reposting this drivel and who's actually liking it? It turns out, as you'd expect, it's a bunch of Vietnamese men. Right, Augie?
Makes total sense.
Vietnamese dudes. Yeah, I shit you not. Roll the video. Are you there, Augs?
It's all Vietnamese names. It just keeps going. There's literally not even a British or Ukrainian name there.
How does this happen?
Are Ukrainians long lost national brothers of Vietnam or something?
Well, the Ukrainians did dig out the Black Sea with spoons. They did build the pyramids, Newgrange, Stonehenge. They put the first man in space.
No way! That's great!
So they probably also
won the Vietnam War.
They won the Vietnam War against the Americans. They hate the Big Don now. Come on, the Viet Cong. So that brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Moscow Mules. As per usual, we've enjoyed making it, and we've really enjoyed having you along as our viewers. And what is it without you guys? We really rely on your interactions and your warm comments. And Augie and I actually like when you hate us a bit too. It shows that we're doing a good job. So what was this week been all about? Well, of course, it's about the fact that it doesn't matter who you vote for anymore, Republican, Democrat, Labour, Conservative, it's all a sham. If voting made a difference, they probably would have banned it years ago. Think about it. Look at the big banquet in the UK, in a castle, one of the king's 15, in a country with millions of children basically in food poverty. Hundreds of millions of pounds and dollars are being flushed into a dictatorship. No elections, no democracy. Meanwhile, ordinary British people getting arrested for disagreeing. And that's what it's all about here on the Moscow Mules. We are going to celebrate disagreeing. We love dissenters. We love you, even though you may not love us. We'll be here same time, same place next week to narrate the clown show. As per usual, we haven't gone away, you know. We'll see you then. God bless.